Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Tired, are you?
I'm a bit sleepy, I'm not gonna lie.
Why are you tired?
Do you know I didn't go out last night?
Makes a change.
Yeah.
So why are you tired? What were you doing last night?
No, I just didn't get a good night's sleep.
Misbehaving for the nation?
No, I was working last night. I didn't even actually... I had really bad period pain, so I was like, yeah, I'm not leaving my house.
The running joke is I didn't know yet. She'll post that in her story, yeah? Like, she posted her nephews and her nieces, and I was like, right, I didn't know you could be responsible and look after kids.
Which is a kid herself.
Or like...
No, my favourite one is when I posted me, like, on a meeting, yeah? And guys was like, didn't know you actually had a job.
I can't imagine you wearing work attire, like, I know you weren't in the meeting,
yeah.
But I just can't imagine.
I had a bonnet on that meeting.
Okay. What kind of meeting was that?
I worked for a radio station. Like, I met an iron chore.
Yeah. I had to read that aloud to make sure that you know that I was trying to read
it. A guy on the train, yeah, looked at me, but he looked at my top. They looked at me again. I'm not being weird, I'm just trying to read your top.
Yeah.
The panic in his eyes, yeah. I want to be like, why is my paper? I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So I was just reading. Yeah.
He is a sick.
Punch me in my eye, man.
The funny joke is that you've got some black eye, and I swear to you, yeah. That's a sick Negro.
Nah, man, slap me up, man. Anyway. It's pod properly, innit? We're the Post-Credit Scene podcast, the 14 HQ original. Yes, Love is a film, TV, theatre. Back in the studio today. Bisola is here with us.
Yes, yeah, he is.
And Manny's here as well.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to ask you how you guys are because I know you're good. But what we'll do...
No. Ask me how I am.
Do we have to?
Yep.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, man. Manny?
How are you?
I'm a good man, guy.
All right, let's get into the episode then. Me, playing with you. What I want to do, though, before we get into the actual episode, and it kind of ties in somewhat, you guys have joined... I'm rewatching The Sopranos. You guys are watching it for the first time.
Yes.
We're not going to do like big spoilers per se, but I'm just intrigued by your Sopranos journey, which could potentially play into the actual episode. So this could be fun. Manny, you started yours first.
Okay.
So I kind of followed it quickly, but didn't know you was doing it. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah. Talk to me about...
Skip past me already.
Talk to me about your journey with The Sopranos.
I'm really enjoying it. Something I said to Kiz and to you previously before as well is that I appreciate the fact that watching... The Sopranos just reminded me the fact that TV shows were allowed to figure themselves out while they're recording the shows and per episodes rather than having like a fully fledged thought out series from beginning to from start to end. And I like seeing that journey, seeing like how the characters also interact within the episodes. Mm-hmm. I think this is very much character driven. The Sopranos. I didn't expect it to be so much about character with the way people were spoken about it. Because obviously it's talked about as one of the greatest series of all time, but I feel like it would be more story than character, which I don't mind whatsoever. But yeah, the characters like quite heavy. I pretty much I enjoy all the characters. I really dislike some of them, but I enjoy all the characters. Livia, not really a huge fan of Tony's mum. She's kind of jarring.
But she's great, isn't she?
No, she's fantastic. Freaking amazing.
She's fantastic.
She's freaking amazing. Jarring, but freaking amazing. Junior, which feels... There's something about him that I just want a bat to hit the back of his head. He's definitely a piece of... bro. Uncle June. But again, he plays the character so well. There's something about the priest that bugs me.
Yes, there's something there. There's something there.
There's something about the priest that bugs me. I actually don't, because he actually hasn't done anything. It's just like, yo, why are you towing the line like this? Like, why? Like, yeah, there's something about the priest that's really, 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 really bugs me. I feel like that he's doing something that we just don't know yet.
Yeah, he's really good, bro.
One thing that I really do like is the, I think Tony's relationship with all the individual characters are brilliant. But the most interesting one that I find so far is his relationship with his son. There's a scene that we get, I think it's like in episode 4, where he comes in late from cheating, obviously. And his son is
naturally playing.
And his son is playing on the Nintendo, playing Mario Kart.
Thank you, kids.
I just wanted to let us know that. But I love that, thank you. event did like connect from there. Event through at towards the end of the episode is when we find when he finds out or gets told by his sister what you think dad does for a living. Like he's obviously part of the mafia, and I'm interested because I haven't seen the fallout from that just yet. But it'll be interesting to find out how the son's character develops on the back of that knowledge, knowing that people are treating him differently because of who his dad is, and him just acknowledging that his dad is this mafia boss. Would that, how would that affect him negatively or positively? So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what how the characters grow.
Fair dude's best, your journey so far.
I'm a bit further on. I'm almost done with season one.
Nice.
And I disagree with you on the figuring itself out. I feel like it knows exactly what it is. I think it gets a perception that the show is meant to be figuring it out, but it's just we're watching Tony figure himself out, and it feels like the show's doing that, but it's not. I feel like it's just Tony's character because everyone else is quite certain in what they do, what they believe, how they act. That's why Liv is the way she is. So she's stuck in her ways from... Have you got to the part where she has like a flashback of their life?
No.
Yeah.
That's a good episode.
It's a really good episode. It's actually one of the ones I want to put on the list. She is very certain of who she is as a person. That's why Liv will never change, because Liv has always been like that. That's what it shows you. And I think that's what has got me the characters, is it's like, I have such strong reactions to some of them, but others, I'm just like, I'm so conflicted whether I like them or not. And I usually have quite strong reactions.
Is Chris one of them?
Chris.
His nephew.
The nephew.
Okay, Chris is so fucking funny. Chris is a comedian. Chris's journey to be in a Scream, right? Yeah? I am Chris. Chris is me. I completely feel Chris. I understand that his whole thing about him needing the arc. I get it. Like, no. When he was suddenly started typing, yeah, I was like, this is the nonsense you're writing. This is the nonsense you're writing. I was like, yo, this is fucking jokes. Three things about the show. Number one, I love a show when everyone can get it. If you're gonna go toe the line of like offensiveness, everyone needs a bullet, and I'm glad of everyone getting a bullet. Number two, I've heard slurs that I've never heard in my life. There was one particular slur for black women or black people, and I thought she was calling her a name. Didn't know that was a slur. Googled it.
What was the slur?
I think it was the first time I heard moolies.
I know what you're talking about.
And then the third thing, I like how fleeting comments or fleeting conversations are really impactful as a whole. There's a comment about I forgot his name, but one of the caps, and he's a Jewish guy, about his royalties in being like, oh, it's fine, I can live my royalties. And then Tony's like, oh, please, you didn't write anything. One black kid wrote it and put himself down as a co-producer. Yeah, and it was such a fleeting conversation. It had no impact that episode. Then a couple episodes later, you actually see the fallout and the effect of like what was really happening in New York at that time with black artists, with musicians, with the things about royalties, and kind of understanding like the legality of it all, yeah? That fleeting conversation became a bigger thing. But at a moment in time, you feel it because the way it's said, it's like, this happens so often. Oh, you just did that.
Yeah.
And then they laugh about it and move on. Then it comes again later and it's like, oh my goodness, that's a really pivotal part of the black experience in America, especially at that time. And throughout history, to be honest, but it's just crazy to watch. It was like really, really good. And it also showed me, I don't know much about non-black American culture, because I thought it was shot in the 70s. It looks really, really old. It doesn't give 90s, noughties to me.
Really?
It gives 70s or like 80s. Like it even, maybe it's the filter they use on our TV, but it even looks like... it's shot really, really old.
Yeah. Well, maybe because I got the Blu-ray that I see it differently.
Why are you still up?
He's doing that thing. Yeah. He was doing that thing.
There's actually no need for me to do that. Yeah, that one. Instead of the camera.
Yeah. He's done his thing there.
Shout out to my brother for lending me his PlayStation.
And shout out to the Sopranos.
You make me sick.
At some point in the near future. I think, you know what, to be honest, I don't think we're waiting for Jason.
Oh. Long time, bro.
Wow, fresh trimmers, you know.
Jeez.
Still that holiday. Still those holiday trips.
Which white woman's got you looking like that?
You make me so sick.
Ladies and gentlemen. At some point we'll do a Sopranos episode.
Yeah. Jason, this is
no point with him.
Yeah.
We'll do that at some point. So today's task and today's episode is talking about the greatest TV episodes of all time. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a very subjective conversation because naturally that's how film and TV works. But I think not everyone has watched every TV episode of every TV series. So we're going to just talk about some of the TV shows that mean a lot to us that we think could be considered the greatest of all time. Then whilst also discussing some of the shows that have been maybe noted down by other sort of publications and so on and so forth. Basali, maybe you could kickstart. What would make an episode for you one of the greatest of all time?
Depending on what kind of show it is, which is annoying because I've got ones for like, my rule for sitcoms versus dramas, whatever, quite different. But it needs to stick with me. It needs to be the show that, the episode that comes to mind when I think of that TV show. It needs to be the one that has enough characters in it, yeah.
You got distracted, didn't it?
Yeah, no, so you could walk past. Has enough characters in it for me to be like, oh, that's a good example of the show. It also needs to be the one that I feel pushes the plot forward or holds the plot. It needs to do like enough of like a. If it's just like a episode, then no. Like even my favourite episode of like Friends.
Your favourite might not be the best.
Yeah, no, it's not. My favourite is never really the best because the best is meant to be the best. I feel like it's created to be like.
But could it not be
like,
the best for you though?
No, I think having a like. Do you know when people ask you like, "What's your favorite movie?" Yeah, it's never really the movie you think is the greatest movie of all time.
But
it's the movie that sticks with you, yeah, because he's annoying and pretentious. But it's the movie that sticks with
you. Oh, Interstellar.
Yeah, you know I mean, yeah. Oh my goodness.
You mean The Prestige?
Oh, that's even worse. Listen to what you even say, Rand.
But I don't think The Prestige is the greatest film of all time. It's my favorite film.
Okay, that's different. See, that's my point.
But you call me pretentious. Get the fuck out of here.
She never fires shots at you, so this was fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's an empty gun as well, man. It's not making this one. So yeah, like my favorite movie. I don't think it's the best movie of all time. Of course not, but it's my favorite one because it sticks with me the most. So my favorite episode will always be the one that sticks with me the most or gives me, like, oh, I hate to quote this man. I really hated it. Hassan made a point a couple of weeks ago. He was like, sometimes just you have the feeling of like just how like you just left the cinema with a feeling.
Yeah.
And sometimes the episode just leaves you with that feeling, and that's what I would put as my favorite episode.
Yeah.
Can we cut this part out?
I don't. No, that's fine.
Okay.
That reminds me of an episode I'm sure we're going to talk about.
What about you?
I think it's just something that sticks with me. I'm not sure if there's like any way for me to quantify what makes something my favourite episode, because my favourite episodes are my favourite for so many different reasons. Mm. One particular show is just literally one person talking to the camera for like 20 plus minutes. One of my favourite episodes is the whole ensemble of the cast just going back and forth and interacting and watching that chaos, and just have other episodes where somebody's cleaning a fork. I don't have any specific parameters as to what makes something my favorite episode. It just has to be a great episode for whatever reason they are. But one thing that I'll say, a lot of times, even thinking about it now, some of my favorite episodes in TV shows are kind of, to an extent, standalones. Like, you can pluck that episode out without context, watch it and be amazing. I don't think that has to be a criteria, but the episodes I'm thinking in my head, a lot of them are like that. Like, out of context, they're just amazing episodes that don't require the weight or other episodes or the weight of the story itself to get you to that point of like, this is a great episode.
That's how I feel about, and it's within the context of movies and Marvel, finally, is Winter Soldier. I could just pluck that out and watch that anytime. And that's a spy thriller. It draws inspiration from like 70s movies. It's a spy thriller. It's just a guy going against the institution and government and corruption and politics. Yeah. Easy watch.
And that goes, I think that goes to how well written, because I think Winter Soldier is the best written film in the MCU. It's not my favourite.
It's not a mad take.
It's not my favourite MCU film, but I think it's the best crafted and
just
written.
That's a valid statement.
Because it draws into it's about character.
Character and the story within that film rather than anything else.
A quick definition here is an episode of television that stands out due to its exceptional blend of storytelling, emotional depth, character development, and a cultural or thematic resonance. It's a defining moment in the series, or can be at least, often elevating the show as a whole, and remains memorable and impactful to audiences long after it airs. It typically features a combination of innovative writing, memorable performances, visual stunning direction, and a lasting emotional or intellectual impact. So, my question to you guys.
Mm-hmm. You can read really well.
I think my reading's got worse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, genuinely. Like, I used to be like a in school. I used to be the one that wanted to read in class. Yeah, I was dork.
That was really good.
If you had to pick out any episode, firstly, just for the just as a palate cleanser for the episode, an episode of television, Bisola, what would you pick out? The first thing that comes to mind for you when you're thinking of like the greatest of all time.
The Office, season 4, episode 12.
This is YouTube Zone, so off you go.
Is it episode 12? No. Yeah, it's 8 or 12. It's called The Dinner Party.
Yeah.
It's so funny because it, after my definition, that makes no sense that that's my favourite, but it's my favourite episode of the whole of The Office. It is the funniest. It's one of the episodes also that is set outside of the office.
Yeah.
Like for...
I think I've seen this.
Almost its entirety. What episode is it?
13.
13, I was so close.
I think I've seen this.
Yeah. It is truly one of the funniest things. Yeah. Like when I'm really low, there's two things I do. I either listen to Funk Flex playing Otis for the first time. It's 22 and a half minutes. It is the funniest thing on the planet. Yeah. Or
that is, you could have given me 1,000 guesses. I will never go into that.
It's been in her head because she mentioned it the other day.
Yeah, it's honestly, I've been listening to Back to Work. Yeah, because crashing out the other day. I was like, oh my goodness, life is worth living. And then The Dinner Party. It is funny. It's the first time you get to see Michael truly outside of the work setting. And he is even like worse. Is that Michael on steroids? Yeah. And then the interaction with Pam and Jan. Yeah. Also, the week before, the episode that came out just before that, episode 11, is deposition.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have the context of the deposition, yeah, that they didn't win any money from it because Michael decided not to go against the company. Yeah. So now they're kind of broke. So the whole dinner party was him trying to like sell Jan's business to his friends. Everyone become investors in the candle business. Hilarious. And in fact, they don't eat until like 4 hours in to the dinner party. And then that classic scene of, she took me by the head. Made me her man. Yeah. Every part of the episode just brings me joy.
I think I really enjoyed the symbolism within the episode as well, because I think the writers or the director spoke about they wanted to showcase that Michael's living in hell. Because there's a scene where there's like fire in the background and they got like the way they placed the ornaments in the background made it look like Jan had horns as well. Mm. I thought it was a brilliant episode. Yeah.
What's your favourite episode of The Office?
Ever.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Yeah. You know the penultimate episode of The Office, like final season, gets to me all the time.
It's so emotional.
It's so emotional, especially when we have Jim
and Dwight's conversation.
And then Jim telling Dwight, "I can't be your best man."
Yeah.
And then I can't remember what they say, but they say something. Yeah. And then all you said, "That's what she said." And then he turns around his mic and the back goes, "Ah!" Yeah. I think the penultimate episode of The Office gets to me every single time.
It's because you're seeing like the. It's, they tie up every single loose end.
Yeah.
Like Kelly and Ryan, they run off into the sunset. They leave the baby.
They leave the baby behind.
With Catherine Tate's character. It's just like everything, every part of the office, there's nothing left. No like stone left unturned.
Yeah.
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 So, you got there.
So yeah, that's my favorite.
Your episode's got a 9.4 rating.
Is it? What is the highest or the best episode of The Office?
My challenge to you guys is to tell me the top 5 rated episodes.
Oh, okay. That's going to be so difficult for me because I don't remember the episodes.
Or would you rather me just let you know?
Oh, no. Okay, so I think top 5, defo.
One of the first episodes is the...
The Dundies.
No, Dundies might be up there.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think in the ethnicity one, the...
oh my gosh, Diversity Day.
Diversity Day.
Diversity Day probably is up there. Dundies. I'm going to go... The Dinner Party, apparently, it's really hit and miss. Not everyone likes it, apparently.
I think Dinner Party we are.
But I think it should be. Also, it's one of the longest episodes they ever. They almost scrapped it because they couldn't get through the takes because it was so funny.
Great episode.
Yeah, the bloopers are fucking jokes. So we've got Dundies, Diversity Day, The Dinner Party.
Let's just go with
that. Oh my gosh, no, the wedding. Jim and Pam's wedding. Part 2. But part 2 when they go on
is
the boat.
Is part 2 better than 1?
Yes, definitely.
Is part 2 when they have the song playing?
Yeah.
Because that's when they actually get married, yeah.
And then...
then everyone thinks that someone stole the baby.
Yeah.
And then we find out that she's still in food.
And then when they find out that Thingy's cheating, that Angela's husband's gay.
Yes, but you know what? I was going to go with Stan when the interns... find out Stanley's cheating.
Oh my gosh, yeah, the one the gossip one, the episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Dundies, We've got Diversity Day, Dinner Party, Jim and Pam's Wedding, and Gossip.
So in at fifth is AARM. Dwight prepares a marriage proposal and hires an assistant for his assistant. Andy auditions for a singing program.
Oh, yeah.
Daryl tries to leave his job without a fuss, and Pam has second thoughts about Jim staying in Scranton.
Yeah, I hear
Wait,
it.
Yeah. He tries to hire an assistant?
Assistant to the assistant, not region manager.
And it wasn't... I was thinking of a different episode.
Because Dwight's interim manager at that time, because Michael's already left.
Okay.
Yeah.
In at fourth is Dinner Party.
Yeah.
Michael invites Jim and Pam and Andy and Angela to a couples only dinner. In at third is Stress Relief.
Dwight... Oh my God, Stress... How did we forget Stress Relief? When Stanley has a heart attack.
Oh, okay.
And then Dwight takes the thing and puts it over his face.
and he has a heart attack because they tried to make him do push-ups. Yeah. To leave early. Yeah. Not the workplace.
We didn't do Threat Level Midnight. Sorry, okay, cool.
Number two is the finale. 1 year later, Dundee Muffin employees past and present reunite for a panel discussion about the documentary.
Yeah.
And then we find out what's in his mom... what's the name? What's the?
Oh my gosh! Erin's mom, Erin's her parents, mom. And she was like, "Yeah,
yeah." Because she was adopted and she finds her mom.
And number one is Goodbye Michael.
Yeah. They do Rent. They do a rendition of Rent. 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good start to the episode.
I don't know what goes by. Yeah.
Manny.
Yes.
What comes to mind for you?
I'm not going to go for my Percy right now.
Yeah, save Percy. Save that real Percy.
So I'm going to go with Lucy Percy. I'm going to go with something that's a bit... I think we'll discuss
it. I'll let you sleep from time to time.
I just refuse to go back to the series for obvious reasons. So you know already what I'm going with.
So I know where you're going with it.
So the episode that comes to mind that is one of my favourite episodes of TV is Reigns of Casimir.
Reigns of Casimir.
Game of Thrones, a.k.a. known as the Red Wedding. I think that's such a... I'm trying to recall whether I loved the whole episode. I do, because the tension was...
Sometimes, I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to say to you, sometimes it can be a particular part that just elevates
it's enough. Episode, yeah.
That moment is enough. Also, the tension for that
the tension
whole episode,
was building
unsettled for the whole thing.
Because everything before that is them trying to get to the castle, trying to get to Walder Frey. So then when they're working so hard to get there, and then you get the treachery and you get the snakery behaviour.
It hits so much. It's the moment where, what's the mom's name?
Catelyn Stark
lifts off Roose Bolton's thing and sees
the armour.
Oh, and then,
but he smiles at her. Is that the menace his mom gives her?
Yeah. It's like he's such a... I don't know how to describe him. It's so menacing. Like, such a fucking creep.
Without doing much.
Yeah, man. He's such a creep in a way. Not creep, but he's a creep.
Yeah.
It's fucking scary to look at. But, when he lifts out the armor and then he puts it back down, it's the way that they stab Rob's wife.
Oh, straight in the stomach.
Bro, I think that is so... Because that doesn't happen in the book. She's not even dead in the book. She escaped. It's just so freaking menacing. Like, sorry.
Yeah. So much venom in the stabs.
So much venom.
Yeah.
And obviously, money.
And the music they play in the background as well.
The Reigns of Casimir.
Reigns of Casimir in the background.
The score is unbelievable.
Oh, and when she holds the neck of one of Walder Frey's children.
And says, he's
no, like, he's, it's his it's his wife note. And he goes,
one of his wives.
And Walder Frey is like, okay.
One of his wives. And said, like, oh, let's stop the deal. It's like, no.
He's like, I'll find another wife.
And it's when they kill Rob and the scream that she lets out as she's cutting her, because she screams and cuts the woman that she's holding. And then, yeah, man, that episode will live
and
on with
all that time, Arya's trying to get to her family.
And she's so close. Yeah, she's just outside, isn't
she? She's at the door.
In the next episode, you see her like get there and they're waving around the wolf's head and her brother's dead head. I don't think we see the brother's head, but we see the wolf's head. It's like, bro,
the wolf's head is cut onto his body.
Yeah.
Okay. But the wolf's head is on the stick.
No. The wolf's head is cut onto
his body.
Yeah. Onto a thingy's body, so that they have Rob's body with the wolf's head stitched onto it.
Yeah, she sees it. And then she sees it.
Yeah.
And the thing comes to get her. What's his name?
The dog. What's it? I call him the dog in it.
The hound.
What is
the hound?
The hound. Again, I thought he was ready with her before that. Or was that the first time
the hound got her there?
The hound got her there, and then he takes her away.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah. Yeah, man, that's the one that comes to mind, and I know what you're gonna What's next?
What am I gonna ask you?
Top five episodes of Game of Thrones.
Well, there's a few we could actually dive into. The Winds of Winter. So see, everyone loves Battle of the Bastards, right?
Yeah.
And from a cinematic perspective, completely understandable.
Yeah.
That is a cinematic masterpiece, achieving that, bringing that to life, and the amount of blood and pain and death, and even seeing Jon Snow's brother trying to make it through, and boom, 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 and really and truly, bro, just everyone saying running a curve, don't run straight.
Yeah, zigzag.
Great, great stuff. Winds of Winter for me is peak Thrones. It's not peak Thrones in the sense of great character writing, but it's peak Thrones in the sense of Cersei, revenge, hellbent, the score, unbelievable, like the building of tension through the score, peak, like the colour of the wildfire, I think it is, and just the preparation that Cersei put into making that happen, the panic. What's her name? Joffrey's girlfriend. Oh, it's going to bug me.
Marjorie.
And her knowing what's happening,
yeah,
and no one else taking her seriously, the High Sparrow thinking that he knows it all, and he's like, you know, he's telling her, no, it's fine, we've got this handled, and Cersei gets her revenge in the end.
It's her saying that, like, Cersei's not here. It's like, yeah, but she knows she's going to get punished. And she's like, yeah, she knows that worse will happen to her if she's not here, but yet she's still not here. Why do you think that is? It's weird that she looks around.
Oh, it's like the first 15, 20 minutes of the episode as well. That's the mad thing. Like, there's more to the episode after, but that's the opening of the episode.
Yeah. The tension that it builds.
Tension is peak.
And even when the cousin, the other...
is it Lance?
It might be Lance.
No. Whose cousin?
Cersei's cousin.
It might be Larselle. Let me check.
The cousin that... it's cousin Larselle.
He's the one that finds the wildfire.
Yeah.
He's the one that finds the wildfire. And just like getting... Closer.
And you see it in his eyes? Oh yeah, my god.
Because the green is reflecting in his eyes. Crazy.
Bro.
Crazy.
Peak Thrones, man.
Wildfire looking like Bisola's hair.
And her earrings.
Oh, nice.
And the amount of silence in that episode.
Yes.
Yeah. When he jumps out of the window.
Oh.
You'd had enough, man.
Was that the same episode as well? Yeah.
Right afterwards.
He saw the chaos, innit?
He sees it happen. Yeah. And then they move back, yeah. And then you just see him run and jump, and it's silent. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. What an episode.
Well, it's the fact he walked. And you know what? It's like, I think if I'm remembering correctly, you're watching the window.
Yeah.
And then he just walks up to the screen, and then he just jumps off.
Yeah, because obviously, we've seen him watch it happen.
Yeah.
Then he's moved back, and you're like, oh, okay, this is going to get another shot.
Yeah.
And he's
literally. Like, okay. Back. Yeah.
Then he's done.
See ya.
Challenge. Top five, what is it? This is going to be tough for you guys, but
I think I want to.
You're going to have most of them.
Yeah, I want to put Battle of the Bastards in my top five, but I think it is in the top five.
So, what do you think is fifth?
I think it's
fifth. Actually, you know what? I think that's too hard a task. Just give me what's in the top five.
Okay. Battle of the Bastards will be up there.
I'm saying Red Wedding.
Oh, has to be.
Rains of Kashmir, yeah.
Yeah.
Up there. Winds of Winter will be up there. I hope it's up there.
Joffrey's wedding.
Yeah, has to be.
Purple Wedding. What's the
episode? The Lion on the Rose.
The Lion on the Rose.
That's a great
episode. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great episode.
And
I reckon
when Ira kills
War of Rey.
Yeah.
Well, but that happens within the first 5 minutes of the episode.
The first season when Thingy dies.
So the episode before she kills Wood of Frey, and then after that she kills his family.
Yeah,
right?
When she goes and kills his family, because something else happens that episode. Remember that episode actually being quite good?
I can't remember.
Never can I. But also I want to include an episode with Daenerys, because I feel like that should also be in there.
It's the episode where she first gains her.
When she gets the Unsullied.
So what?
When she gets the Unsullied.
Yeah. No.
That's not what I was thinking of, but that is a shout. I was thinking of episode 9 of season 1.
Yeah, when she walks out, she's all naked and
the
flames.
The eggs have hatched now.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the episode. I think that's episode 9.
I was thinking of the episode where her dragons have been taken from her and she gets them back. I think it's like season 2 or season 3.
Who takes the dragons again?
Oh, I can't remember.
It's that council at that place that she...
The Arab looking guy, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Should I read out the top 10?
Yeah, go on.
Number 10 is Hodor, the door. Number 9 is the Laws of Gods and Men. What an episode.
Can you remind me that episode?
Tyrion's Trial has come.
Yeah, I was going to say Tyrion's Trial, but I didn't think it would be that pivotal. I just enjoyed it.
Tyrion's Trial was peak, you know.
It was...
Number.
You're talking about the
actual trial.
Yeah, the actual speech about not
about being a dwarf.
That is top five TV scenes.
Yeah.
Personally.
Number 8 is the children. John makes an important decision, and this is where Tyrion ends up taking his father's life.
Okay. Yeah.
Tyrion.
Killing the shit off.
Number 7 is the Mountain and the Viper.
That's Pedro Pascal.
Number six is The Lion and the Rose, Joffrey's Wedding.
Just missed out.
Marjorie. Number five is Blackwater.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's season two, right?
Yeah, Stannis.
Yeah.
Number four is Hard Home.
Oh my days. How do you forget about that?
What's Hard Home?
It's when Jon Snow meets the Night King for the first time.
Yes.
Peak.
Yeah.
Peak.
And he rises the dead.
Peak.
Yeah.
And he looks
Yeah. I remember being on Twitter when that came out. Oh my gosh.
Number three is The Winds of Winter.
Yes.
Number two is Battle of the Bees.
I was trying to save him an editing job.
Couldn't speak there.
What? Battle of the
Bastards.
Why is that an editing job?
Oh, it's just in case.
We're 30 minutes in, you can say what you want.
Okay. Number one is The Reigns of Castamere.
Okay.
Game of Thrones. There's more Peak Thrones stuff though.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'll go with one of mine, and it's kind of niche.
Okay, go on.
It's unintentionally niche, but it's definitely me at the same time. It's Luther season one, episode six.
I actually could have bet my life on it, you know.
And you've seen Luther, right?
Yeah.
You have?
I haven't, but
okay. So this is the episode where Ian has killed Zoe. Zoe's his wife.
Yeah.
And then Luther's been framed for it. And Luther's now on the run. And the whole episode is him trying to prove his innocence. And I think at the same time, what's her name? What's the ginger girl? Alice.
Yeah.
Alice has been freed, or she's escaped. And she ends up helping Luther with the final situation with Ian. And the whole episode is literally Luther on the run, bro. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's him having to be a very savvy detective whilst also having to be like thinking like a criminal, mm-hmm. trying to like navigate his way through. But he's also behaving so erratically. And the problem with Luther as a character, in one sense, he's like one of the best detectives that you'll ever come across in a crime drama. But he's also so flawed mentally. He's really struggling with life. His mental health is all over the place. And you can literally see that in his character. He's making like really erratic decisions in this particular episode. And it was just great acting from Idris Elba. I know Jason made a joke on the TikTok the other day. Where he was like, oh, Stringer Bell is his only defining role or something stupid like that.
He'd be saying things.
Sometimes. But yeah, this particular episode of Luther is probably, I think it's the highest rated as well.
And also the music in that episode. So I think the episode ends with Black Keys, Never Gonna Give You Up. Yeah. Never gonna give you up, no matter how you treat me. Yeah, one of my favorite. And it became one of my favorite songs because of that episode.
Yeah.
And it was just him and Alice on that phone call. When Alice basically being like, not asking if he did it, but being like, see, things aren't always as they seem. Because the whole thing was that she didn't kill her parents.
And it's actually the highest rated Luther episode, 9.0.
Yeah.
Luther's a great drama. I don't recommend the movie, but I'd recommend the first three seasons of that show.
Oh, there's one terrifying episode of Luther.
I know what you're talking about. Is it The Mask on the Bus?
No. Oh, yes. Also, do you know what it is? Luther is very British, yeah, and it's very true. So watching it as a young girl was the scariest thing ever.
There's some crazy criminals in that series.
The cab episode, Jesus Christ, give me strength. That one was terrifying.
The white guy.
Yeah.
And then his wife is cheating on him with the black guy.
No, it's the guy in the cab, and then like he's killing these girls that he sees, but he's like decorating their bodies with their personal belongings.
Mm. Oh, that might be a bit further ahead.
So he's getting them in like, he's pretending to be like cabs. Like, oh, by the way, there's an accident up the road. He's a black cab. Yeah, being like, hey, you can jump in. Like, I'll give you this kind of ride.
Yes, it's the guy. His wife she's slamming the black guy.
Okay. But and yeah, the way he's committing these crimes, terrifying. The Mask on the Bus, scary.
Tapped.
But nothing is scarier. I think it's called, like, it's like The Dinner. Yeah, where there's this criminal. He wants to invite different people to the house so he can kill them in like a dinner style thing. So it's like an Amazon delivery person, like a sex worker, like a gardener, and they all come into the house, and it's like,
it's some of the most tapped criminals, but it's also like, this is somewhat believable.
It's super believable.
Yeah, it's like, this could be a thing. You know the guy, the army guy as well? And I think his dad used to abuse him.
I can't remember his episode.
Oh, what about the one with the twins and the dice in the back of the van? And then I think Luther gives them an instruction and they like shoot through a particular letter. I think he says a letter, and then the police shoot. So Luther's like, knows what letters on the outside of the van or something. So when he says it, the police shoot and they kill the guy that he's dealing with. I think the guy's got like a lighter and petrol, and Luther's petrolled himself in the van. So he was going to kill himself. Because I think that's what the guy wanted him to do. Yeah. But then Luther says a particular letter. The police shoot through that letter and it kills the other guy. But he's got a twin. So they've been switching, I think, between each other, doing the crimes in London. And they didn't know he had a twin. Great episode. Luffy's great, man. I'm gonna lie to you.
It's just scary.
Luffy's peak. It just kind of fell off after like season four, five.
How many seasons are there?
Five in total, then one movie.
Yeah.
Movie
wasn't good.
Let me read out some of the episodes that have been deemed the greatest of all time.
I can do one person before we do.
Yeah. Cool, Chan.
I want to talk about BoJack Horseman. Has one of my favorite episodes of TV ever. It's called Free Churro. A bit of a spoiler. His mum passes away, so he spends the whole episode just doing a eulogy. So it's just him. Just him talking. I've never been so locked in into an episode before. And he has a terrible relation with mum because mum's an awful human being. And he spends the whole episode just talking about his relation with mum, but he's making up fake stories. One of the stories talking about how kind a mum was, and then he ends by saying, yeah, she never actually really did any of that stuff. And then the whole episode is him trying to find meaning in his relationship with his mother, which also adds to meaning of himself as a person. And then he says something on the lines of, the only time that I felt like my mum was genuine with me is when she was about to pass away in the hospital and she says, I see you for the first time. And he felt like he was seen by his mother. He carries on talking. And then at the end, it hits him. I see you. She was reading the intensive care unit in the background. That's what she was saying, I see you. She wasn't saying, I see you. She was reading, I see you. And then it hit me, oh, like my mom is always the same person. She actually doesn't love me. And one thing that he says throughout the episode is that my mother is dead and everything is worse now. And you get a feeling of, he doesn't feel like, oh, my mom is dead and now everything's worse because she's dead and I no longer have a mother. Is that mother is dead and I will never be loved by in a way that a mother should love them. And there's never a chance of that because she's dead. So everything's worse now because it's never going to get better. I feel like that's such an episode that looks at BoJack Horseman, who is as a person, what he had to go through. He's a piece of shit though. What he had to go through. Not like him though. Like if he's a human being, like, bats to his head. Like, is not all jokes aside. But yeah, that episode is so brilliant. And because it's just him, there's a cold opening between him and his dad. But apart from that, it's just him talking for the whole 20, 30 minutes, however long it is. And I don't think I've ever been so locked in into an episode by just hearing somebody talk. It felt very much like a theater. It felt like very theatrics because it wasn't about anything else apart from just his monologue. And I think that's like one of the best episodes ever in TV. Full stop.
Cool. So Collider recently did a listing of some of their greatest TV episodes of all time. And maybe if there's one that we like, we can just dive into it quickly. Breaking Bad is number one. Episode, season 5, episode 14, Ozymandias. That's number one. Then number two is Pine Barrens, season 3, episode 11 of The Sopranos.
Which one is that?
Season 3, episode 11.
We'll get there.
Can't spoil
it. And I'll be the decider.
they've got the Reigns of Castamere at 3.
Okay.
They've got The Suitcase, which is Mad Men season 4, episode 7. We'll probably do like a Mad Men.
Yeah, something else I want to watch. Yeah.
Dive into that. Let me see if there's any others that would be of interest to you. Who's seen Better Call Saul here?
I've seen Better Call
Saul. I've only seen the first season.
Season 6, episode 7, Plan and Execution.
Yeah,
I feel like he's just making. Oh, he doesn't remember it.
Yes, I do. I'm literally telling you.
Their number 7 is an interesting one. It's one we can dive into.
So I'm waiting for the wire to turn up.
So can you just be a bit patient? Season 4. episode 13. Final Grades. The Wire.
Okay. Remind me what happens in the episode.
Okay. So
you go.
No, if I'm right, that's the episode when school's out.
This is a school episode.
Yeah, no, but it's when school's out, like when they close for the semester. They're all trying to, they're deciding what they're trying to do post school. And I remember Doohee being like, he wants to apply for computer science college.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like the episode, because obviously the whole of season 4 is painful to watch, yeah. But that episode is the most painful because now they have to be adults, even though they're still children. And it's like, yo, the world does not give a fuck about these kids.
Yeah.
They're all crack babies. And I think that was... And it's also them reminiscing.
The fact you call them crack babies is so funny.
Yeah, it's the fact that they're all reminiscing on times they had.
Yeah.
At school. So, I think, yeah, that's the episode. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Wire is one of the greatest shows of all time.
Yeah,
my favourite from The Wire, and there's a few, but yeah, I'm going to be so predictable, yeah. When I say season 3, episode... It's not 9, it's not 10, it's not 11. It's the penultimate before 13, so it might be 12. I need to double check, but it's definitely middle ground.
Okay.
So
is that when...
This is the episode where Stringer Bell and Avon have their, like, final conversation. And at this point in their relationship, they're both aware that they're double crossing each other.
Yeah.
It's also the episode where Stringer goes to meet Colvin. Yes.
Yeah.
He goes to meet Colvin to sort of be a, to essentially snitch.
Yeah.
It's also the episode where Stringer Bell finds out he's not as smart as he thought he was.
Yeah.
He's been played by Clay Davis. Of
yeah.
Shit. Great character, by the way.
Yeah.
So much happens in that episode. Obviously, at the end, Stringer Bell meets his maker. He meets Avon, not Avon, he meets Omar and Brother Muzon.
Yeah.
I love
in the building.
Him with his fucking blue bow tie.
And
love him.
Michael.
And that's the end of Stringer Bell. And I just like the episode because it was an awakening for Stringer to realise he's probably in over his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not as smart as he thought he was. He was just smarter than the people he was around.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're smart.
Yeah.
Some of them can't read. So
just because you're doing parliamentary meetings, it only does so much, right? But he's still a great character, and there's so many other great characters in the episode. I think even in that same episode, or maybe the episode after, Avon actually gets arrested. And
Yeah,
but do you know what it is? The reason I was so confused that episode, yeah, was when Avon pretend, I can't tell if he was pretending to be shot or he was actually shot, that the witness on the arrest warrant was Stringer Bell.
Yeah.
And he was like, God, that motherfucker, knowing that he'd set him up to kill him already, but being like, somewhat surprised. I didn't get it because I was like,
I think snitching is different though, isn't it?
Yeah, because
but he knew it was him from that first time, that conversation they had on the balcony. I felt like they both knew that something,
yeah, but
maybe because they thought they were gonna kill each other. I think that's what it was.
I think with Avon, he wanted Stringer Bell to get killed because he didn't see no other option based on what Stringer Bell done to Omar and Brother Muzon. And I think he felt like Stringer Bell was up to something, but I don't think he actually knew that he's gonna snitch on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the surprise came from. But he knew that something that Stringer had to go,
yeah,
because of all the nonsense that he was doing. But I think the surprise more so came about exactly to what he actually did, and that's like put the feds on him.
Yeah, there's one episode of The Wire that always sits to me, and it's, I don't know if it's one episode. Yeah, it is, when they test, what is his name? Oh my goodness, the young boy that's he's talking to the police, but he's not actually talking to the police.
Randy?
It might be, you know.
And he sat on the bench, basically being like, this really can't be life. And
oh, Bodie.
Bodie.
Yeah.
Oh, him and McNulty.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The chess game.
Yeah, that conversation, I was just...
No, not the chess game.
The chess game.
You're talking about season four or season five. When does Bodie?
Season four is when McNulty brings him like some food, right?
And they're talking about chess.
Are they talking about chess?
So he's like, we're pawns in this shit.
Yeah. Oh, so he's referencing from season.
He's referencing from season one.
Yeah.
That, and when they test Bodhi as well, when they make him go drop the car off and see if he does everything as he's meant to, and it's like one of his last interactions with Stringer in it. But I really enjoyed that. Just I love Bodhi's character. But that conversation they have on the park bench, and then I think McNulty's kind of like to him, essentially just snitch and like live your life after. But he's like, that does nothing for anyone.
Yeah.
And then he just goes about his day. And I'm like, yo, Bodhi's such a good character.
But they also humanised McNulty in season four. They made him a street cop, so he had to like...
actually interact with...
But I think in that season, he had actually stopped working as much. I think he was having difficulties with The Wire in terms of his pay and stuff. I think that was an issue with Dominic West at the time, so he wasn't as present. It's either that or there was a family issue, one of the two, can't particularly remember. But there was an issue with him, and that's why he wasn't as present in season four.
It's crazy, I liked that the most.
And why he was a beat cop. But I think it works for his character. I think you've got to see some development. You've got to see him being a human being. He stopped drinking. He stopped having sex with all these women. He found his girlfriend and he was looking after their children. And they kind of like went back to who he was in season five. But I guess it makes sense. He's an obsessive. He's someone that thinks he's doing good and wants to do good, but doesn't always realise that he's not. And I think you see the flaws in him in season five where he ends up like lying about the media stuff and his killer that's where lurking and so on and so forth. All in all, just to catch, what's his name again?
Marlo
Stanfield. Some other great episodes is obviously the crime scene investigation. Fuck.
Yeah.
I can't believe those seasons. You said season one, right?
Season one, episode three.
Yeah, do you know what? The Wire just started immediately and just.
Not everyone agrees.
No, they're cappers. That shit.
Your friend Shanika don't agree.
Yeah, them.
She doesn't like The Wire.
She don't love it.
I'm very sus about people that don't like The Wire.
Yeah, for real, you know, I'll be judging you guys heavy.
Shout out to Charlie, though. Did you see his review?
Oh, I liked him with you, but I didn't actually watch it. I need to go back and watch it.
What's wrong with you?
I can't lie to you. I do the best. Like, like if I know you see your thing, I'll interact with it, but I might not watch it because I might not just be in the mood to watch a review.
Yeah. His review's good. Like, he loves it. And you know what? T.
Yeah. I like Charlie, man. It's cool people,
yeah,
man.
Good people.
The Wire's got a lot of great episodes, man. Obviously, Omar's cool. It's not an episode, but I do think it was a great episode when Omar's in court.
And he was
a tie.
I think about that title.
You got a briefcase.
I got a shotgun.
It's all in the game, though, right?
It's all in the game, yo. Oh, rest in peace, man.
Yo, even like the episode when Omar dies. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
he gets killed.
Loved that.
I loved it because it was the child was the only one that could actually kill Omar. Yeah. And I think that was it was either gonna be him or Randall.
Yeah.
I honestly felt it could only be a child. It had to be a child.
Yeah.
But like, because Randall kind of turned into Omar for me. Like that last episode when he's Robin and he's like stealing from the
thing.
Randall, Michael.
Yeah, I was like, he's the only one that could do this.
Next Omar, yeah.
Because he is the next Omar because he's just so like carefree of it. He doesn't give a fuck. He's, me and my gun against the world. And yeah.
The last scene with Michael and Dookie is so heartbreaking.
When they're talking about like, actually reminiscing properly.
Yeah. Well,
Michael doesn't remember.
Yeah, Michael doesn't remember. I don't remember.
Because he's been through so much.
Yeah.
By the way, the fuck episode was Old Cases, which is episode 4. So I'm like, no, fuck. Great episode, man. And they actually showed they're great detectives as well. It was really cool. The Independents, I've got a few here. So Manny, they've got BoJack Horseman at 11.
Nice.
Season 3, episode 11. That's Too Much, Man. BoJack Horseman was not only delicate. No, they don't really explain the episode, to be fair. But yeah, I don't know if you remember that episode.
I don't. But talk of fine.
Anyone watch Peep Show?
I like hearing that when I was younger, yeah, Channel 4 things.
Oh, they've got one of my episodes here, you know. That's on my list.
Let's hear it.
This episode's great, yeah.
He has to put the
Season 2, episode 10 of Succession.
Guys, you put the iPad down.
So this episode, yeah.
Sorry, I just realised what BoJack episode that is. I have to talk about it. Yeah.
Do you want
to
go first then?
No, go ahead. You put down.
I'm so easy though.
No, I want to hear this.
All right, cool. So this is the episode, yeah, where they're sort of dealing with the cruises. So the entire season 2 is the whole cruises stuff and the whole scandal around the mistreatment of staff and people on the cruises, right? Which is one of the things that they own, the Roys. So I think the beginning of the episode, I think Greg might even have the congressional scene where he's like, I can't remember what he says. Kids, please search it for me, please.
Yeah.
It's one of the funniest
season episode 10, yeah?
Yeah. Search it for me. Anyway, that happens, and then they're on the yacht. And the entire episode is them trying to decide who to blame. Mm. And they have a meeting on the boat where it's like, Logan gets everyone around, and they're all trying to distribute blame to each other. It's like, Kendall might be saying it should be Shiv, and Shiv's saying it might should be Tom. And Tom's like, what? Tom's like, why me? What have I done?
What did he fuck me for?
And then in the end, Kendall takes the blame.
Yeah.
But that conversation where they're debating it on the ship is one of the best scenes in Succession. And a lot of that is improvisation as well.
Yeah. I was doing a whole thing into Succession the other day, and I know that a lot of them didn't know their lines.
Oh, they improv.
Yeah, and but it was mainly
they knew their characters.
Yeah, So Kieran was like, he studied.
Oh, he's the biggest improv.
Yeah, he don't.
Yeah, he doesn't learn lines. Full stop. Yeah, but it's like because obviously they were always doing it as one take. It was it was always
they shoot and film in
it. Yeah, so always trying to shoot as one take, and a lot of it was just like Kieran was just saying the wrong lines. Yeah, and I think that's why him and Jeremy, I think they alluded to them like season 2, being like, yo, I don't know what the fuck to respond with. That's why he was so erratic, because he's genuinely pissed off because like, that's not your fucking line, and you're just saying.
Jeremy's so to the method.
Yeah, and he's like there's so many points where he's like, because of that, and it's genuine reaction, and not just that because it's scripted.
Did you find what episode that was for Greg?
Are you talking about when he's at the deposition? The
congressional.
Yeah, the deposition he has. Yeah, okay. I think that's the one prior to that episode.
Is it? You know what I'm talking about, right?
It is. It's
how many Gregs does it take to make an omelette?
Yeah. That's the boy he's on about. Yeah.
You see, Greg.
Yeah. Look,
no, Greg and my guy together. Oh my gosh,
it's called
the Nasty Brothers.
They all testify before Congress. Yeah.
Man. And then obviously this is the episode where. This is one of the best scenes in Succession for so many reasons. Kendall's decided to take the blame.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to take the blame. He has the press conference. The score starts to play in. He walks in. You've got Shiv and Logan still on the yacht. And Kieran. Who's Kieran Culkin's character's name again?
That is
Roman. Roman ends up walking in.
That is crazy that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Roman ends up walking in, right? And then he's doing the press conference and he says, it looks like he's going to take the blame and completely throws Logan under the bus and blames Logan.
Yeah.
But then you have the shot where like Logan's looking at his son and he's so proud of his son for finally stepping up, because he told him before, you haven't got the balls to step up and to actually do something, like take the reins. At the same time, you've got Kendall looking at the press conference, but really it looks like he's looking at his father whilst doing so. Like the way they shot it was, it was more like he was looking at his father than looking at the people in the press conference. One of the best episodes of Succession, without a doubt. Loved it.
Boom. Yeah. Great episode.
Oh, Succession, man. There's other great episodes of Succession, but do you want to do BoJack first?
I'm gonna do Too Much Man. Too Much Man is an episode. So, have you seen BoJack?
Nah, but I know it's about,
I know none of you guys have seen it. So, quick one, background. BoJack is a Hollywood star that used to have this really big TV show in the 90s where he played like a sitcom dad and he had children. And one of the children he had was called, her name is Sarah Lynn. She ends up becoming this superstar. She's a child actor, ends up becoming a superstar. She has drugs and alcohol problem, so on and so forth. She goes, she becomes sober for like 9 or 10 months. But because BoJack is so dysfunctional, he calls her up. She's like in her 30s now. Say, do you want to go on a bender? Like, yeah. So, fucks up some sobriety and goes on a bender. So we spend the whole episode with just them two together. Throughout the whole episode, we see the loneliness and emptiness that Sarah Lynn has. Even though she has all this fame, all this stardom, all this money, she still feels really empty inside. When she was younger, she wanted to be an architect, but her mom was like, no, you're going to be in show business because that's what makes me money. In this episode, we keep seeing all the shittiness that BoJack's done. He tries to make amends, but every time he tries to make amends, it makes things worse because he's a selfish guy. Then the episode leads into them two ending up in a hotel together. And he feels like, and throughout the whole film, they make it seem like she's about to overdose. She falls asleep. BoJack keeps trying to wake up. She wakes up, it's fine. Then there's a scene of Wiz Khalifa, funny enough, giving out an award of her winning an Oscar. It's like, oh, I've won an Oscar. And then you have a stepdad saying that, oh, Sarah Lynn, wherever you are, we miss you. Can you please come home? Because they've been on a bender for days or weeks, however long it's been. And then they end up in this dome when I think it's an architecture that built it. And Sarah Lynn is in there just talking about how much she loves this architecture, so on and so forth. And them two end up chilling there. Sarah Lynn doesn't say anything for a while, and all you hear is Butcher saying, Sarah Lynn, Sarah Lynn, Sarah Lynn. She doesn't respond, because then we later find out that she passed away.
Not as much.
But throughout the whole episode, we just see like, just how empty she is as a person.
Despite all the fame.
Despite all the accolades, despite all of her achievements. And also highlights, just like, when I say Bojack Horseman is a shitty person, I think it's a good thing that they made him into a horse, because if this was actually perceived as a real person, you would hate the character so much. He does so many shitty things throughout the whole series. But this is just another one. Like all the issues that he has comes back in the future as well. Even with the Sarah Lynn thing, we later find out that it took him 17 minutes to call the ambulance just because he didn't want to get in trouble for it. But the whole episode is just so daunting. And when we get the revelation at the end, when you now go back and watch it and realize all of that is happening, you just pick out just how shitty of a person BoJack actually is. One fun fact about it is that when the writers originally done like the first two, three seasons, Harry Weinstein went up to them saying that, oh, I really like the show. I really like the character BoJack. And they're like, you like him? Bet. They made BoJack 10 times worse. It's like, because there was like, we don't want people to come out and think that what BoJack does is okay. This is not a redemption arc for him. This character is not redeemable. He's a piece of shit. But we're just highlighting like men like this exist. And the fact that Harry Weinstein like this character, like there's no way you're gonna be subtle about it anymore. And you actually see it like from season 4 onwards, just how much on the nose they are about just how shitty of a human being he actually is. But yeah, that episode is actually a lot. And whenever I go back to that particular episode, this like I just feel so sorry for Sarah Lynn as a person and as a character. Brilliantly written.
Is everyone in his family depicted as a horse as well?
He only has two parents and they're both horses, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like humans and other animals in the show, yeah.
Back to Succession. What other episodes / moments come to mind for you guys? Even if it's not episodes, because I know Succession is something we've revisited loads of times, so it's kind of harder to remember episodes, but is there moments in Succession that stand out to you?
Season 3,
I'm trying to find it. Sorry.
Is it L to the OG?
You know when
in the car. I think it is.
No, no, no. When he's rapping to the family at his father's party.
No, that's so funny. Yeah, yeah. So funny.
To
be the OG.
I was gonna say,
man, we playing.
See when Logan tells Greg to roast him in it, and he's like, "Where are your kids?"
That's
yeah.
That's season two.
Yeah.
Hey, season two for me is the funniest.
Yeah. I need to go back and watch it.
It's a comedy.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
no,
a comedy.
It's hilarious.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
But the first episode is so peak with the watch.
No, the first episode is
funny. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when Roman had a family.
Yeah.
I know, we never seen him again.
Oh, yeah.
We never seen his family again.
One of the moments that stand out to me in Succession is when Logan fires the board. I will never forget that episode. Because
they tried to do him, innit?
Yeah, yeah. Because obviously Kendall's like coming from another meeting and he got stuck in traffic. He has to run through the tunnel. He gets to the meeting and he's too late. They've already done the vote and his father's staying. And obviously Logan's like, he's fired literally everyone. I think he even fired Kendall. He fired Frank. And obviously Frank's like his lieutenant for like how many fucking years, bro? That's been his guy, his ride or die. But Frank turned against him. And it just showed that like, despite all the rules and stipulations that can be in place, like, Logan is Logan, bro.
Yeah.
You ain't trumping Logan till he's gone. And you can continuously see that throughout the four seasons. They're trying to find ways to like maneuver around Logan. He's an immovable force until he decides to go himself. Yeah. Which takes us to Connor's wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that.
Sarah Snook?
Sarah Snook, yeah.
What a performance.
Yeah.
That whole episode, it wasn't a one take, but it felt like it. Because I know the camera was like following them around for quite a bit. It's not a one take. I'm sure it's not a one take. But it feels like it, but it's not. There's like, sorry.
It's not one take.
Yeah, it's not. The camera follows them around, but her performance was just haunting because she wasn't there. It was the two brothers, innit, that were on the phone.
And Tom was the one with Logan. And we didn't believe it.
Yeah. Look, when they're right up to the point where they did the press conference, like the next episode was like, surely this is a trick. Surely it's fucking us. Because
one of the most realistic depictions of death, don't know.
Yeah, man, out of nowhere, halfway into the season, obviously somebody that already has a condition because he's been to the hospital a few times, so it's coming up. But I like the fact that they didn't use it as a story device to tell us at the end of it, to give like a big bang to the end of a TV show, which most TV shows would have done and they wouldn't have been wrong to do it. But to do it right in the middle of a series, making the whole show go a completely different turn, because I feel like that season was shaping up to be the children versus the dad, and then it turned into the children versus each other. But yeah, I think that episode's brilliant. I think all of them were great, but what I remember most about that episode is Sarah Snook's performance. I think she was absolutely great throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, she's great. That series has so many great moments. Thomas Schiff's argument stays with me. It gives me chills, man, because like they just let everything out, like, and you can still love somebody, but you can still feel so much like hate and pain and anger towards them. I think Tom, yes, finally, I don't know what you're...
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Any other...
but you could, they felt so much, like, I think Tom especially, that was the first time he got to really tell...
Yeah, he's been bottled up for so long.
Shiv,
yeah,
how he really feels about her. And like, she'd never really understood. She took the piss, man.
No,
she
didn't.
From season one, she was cheating on man. And like he was like kind of like being okay with it, being a cuck.
Okay, I wouldn't say she was cheating.
She was cheating. She was fucking somebody else.
I don't say she was cheating.
Oh, because they had an agreement. Did they have an agreement?
I feel like they did. I feel like if you know,
he knew.
Yeah. So if he was cheating,
oh, so if you know, you're just don't dig yourself into that hole.
He was actually being a cuck. He was actually being a cuck.
I feel like he knew, and I feel like he didn't mind.
He definitely minded.
Yeah, we know now, but he didn't say that.
Definitely minded, man.
So the top five episodes for Succession, because I think that's a harder one for you to...
Yeah, I was never going to get
that. America Decides. So that's in season four.
That's the
politics episode.
What an episode that is.
Peak. Episode four is With Eyes Open, 1 hour and 28 minutes. That's the final of season four.
What happens in that episode, Rami, please?
It's the final one where they...
Oh, the final.
Okay. Episode number three is All Bells Says. And this is where I think Kendall has his breakdown and the family find out that he's still addicted to drugs and stuff. Okay. It's towards the end of season three. It's the one before they found out that Tom was snaking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two is This Is Not For Tears. That's the one, the press conference in season two, episode 10. Love that episode. And number one is Connor's Wedding.
Okay.
Painful.
Yeah, really good stuff. Friends.
Okay.
Do any episodes come to mind for you
the one that could have been?
You'd have to tell, this is your alternative.
Yeah. So some of my favorite episodes of like TV shows are like, it's the same as Scandal. The 100th episode is the one that sticks to me the most, because it's always like a, because you know, you're watching a show and you're like, imagine if this didn't happen, and you get to almost be the writer for that episode, and it shows you that things will have always kind of been the way they were. And that's what I love about the episode. It's a two-parter, and it's what life would have been if Rachel stayed married to Barry, if Joey was a successful actor, if Ross was still married to the lesbian, if
Elizabeth
is his second wife. I forgot her.
Ross got Emma? Married to Elizabeth.
No, Emma is his second wife.
Emma's Emily. His daughter.
Emily is the.
Emily's
his wife. Yeah. Emma's his daughter.
Yeah, okay. He's got a daughter.
Rachel.
Ross is.
Oh yes, fucking hell.
I think Elizabeth is his first wife.
Is it?
Second.
It's Carol.
Carol, yeah, Elizabeth is the English one.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Guys, don't question me. Yeah, Carol. Yeah,
apologies. No.
if
the hell is Emma? Sorry, do you know who Emma is?
Isn't that Rachel's sister?
No, Emma is Emily, but it's when Rachel's sister calls. When Rachel's sister doesn't know her niece's name,
yeah.
They call her Emma.
Yeah.
Who was the actress?
Witherspoon.
It was Reese, isn't it?
Yeah.
She was good.
Love her.
Yeah. She nailed it. She was really good.
Yeah, also, we were talking about this the other day, that Friends became like a show everyone has to pass through at least once. Like, name any big actor at the time, they would have gone on Friends for like a guest appearance.
You like the Brad Pitt one,
didn't it? I was going to say that episode's actually amazing.
It was, because it's so funny, and I reference it all the time. Like, you know, you're looking at a guy here, and you think he's a ting, but he hates you, but you're like, he's a ting. Yeah, we reference it constantly.
I feel like you might experience that quite a lot.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, he's such a ting, yeah. Like,
the way you say you reckon is like, she agrees. She's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, no, because a couple of instances, I was like, yo, he's such a ting. My friend was like, I feel like I hate your gut. Yeah. And I was like, damn, he's such a ting. Yeah, is that, and just, it's the menacing.
Doesn't that make it better?
What is going on here? Anyways, the episode that could have been, if Monica was still fat, and if Chandler focused on being an actor, a writer, a comic, and it shows you that if they all did that, they would all still end up the way they were.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great sitcom trope. Not even a trope, but it's a great sitcom idea for an episode.
To do
an alternative universe.
Yeah. I love it so much. And that's one that sticks with me the most. That one and my eyes! But the reason it sticks with me,
The tan.
No. When
Phoebe
sees Monica and Chandler.
For the first time.
The reason it sticks with me, because it reminds me of COVID, because when my man was shagging his PA.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone kept going, my eyes. It just, you know, things just stick with you.
Wait, who was shagging the PA?
You know, Matt...
Hancock.
Hancock, yeah.
Hand and cock.
And then, like, he was talking about, like, he was, like, I think,
health,
real life,
He was giving excuses as to why he was traveling, so.
Yeah.
And then everyone on Twitter was like, my eyes!
Yeah.
One of the funniest Phoebe moments, is when she's trying to seduce Chandler. And she's like,
Next episode, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, that's quality.
No, the funniest Phoebe moment, like, off the top of your head is when we find out that she robbed Ross when they were younger.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what episode that is, to be specific, but that's a great Friends moment. I've got the one with Ross's tan stands to me the most.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's comedic acting at its peak.
That's up there with the teeth one, when he whitens his teeth. One is the funniest.
Yeah, and when he tries to chop his cousin. The first back is that he says, what are you doing? And he takes the longest pause that I haven't had sex in 3 months. What did you say that? Why would you do that?
No, that one, and it's called the episode, the one with all the flirting, and they're all trying to flirt with the pizza delivery girl, and they're getting angry at Chandler for flirting with her, but then he opens the door and he's like, I like 13-year-old boys, because the conversation before was about her haircut being like a 30-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And that's how he opens the door, and it's like, he's ordered like 10 pizzas, and he can't flirt.
Hey man,
the one with all the flirting is so good.
Friends is great TV.
Ross is the GOAT.
Yeah,
Friends.
That's about that, man. That's what about that. Are there any other episodes that we haven't necessarily discussed already that you guys want to touch upon?
Scandal 100th episode, another episode of what could have been.
I don't.
Oh yeah, you don't watch it.
I have watched Scandal.
What the fuck?
I haven't watched Scandal.
We did an episode together.
Literally last week.
So confusing these guys, bro.
It's the episode of what could have been if Fitz, if they didn't rig the election, what would happen? If Fitz wasn't president, if it was my man instead, if Olivia just went to work and with social justice and Fitz has his own show, is if Lindsay, that's obviously so funny. Lindsay Dwyer, not Quinn Perkins, because she hasn't been framed for the bombing. All of these things happen and Fitz is still a serial cheater. Olivia still ends up hating him anyway. Melly marries Cyrus and starts shagging James anyway, who's the reporter who's going to leak the information. Captain Jacob Ballard is doing something else. I think he's like working for the new thing.
Jake Ballard's my guy, man.
Yeah, so there's so much happening, but the episode kind of ends with this would have been their life anyway. Like, they all would have ended up, in terms of how they felt about each other, like when Fitz is cheating, when he's about to sleep with Lindsay Dwyer, yeah, it's like, there's a realisation in his eyes that, yo, this is really about to be my life. And that is the original timeline anyway. He's still about to be a dirty cheat anyway. Yeah.
Anything else for you, Manny?
There's a few episodes from the Bears.
Do you think they could be in the conversation at the bare minimum?
Oh, yeah. Fishers.
If you had to pick one out that you would say is like, if you used to represent...
Obi Fishers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Forks is my favourite, but I think Fishers is like... I think Fishers is the best episode. Mm-hmm. I think Forks is just my...
Probably like favorite. The hardest to like pull together.
Yeah.
And bring chaos, but also make it cohesive as a story.
As a story. And still having like each of the characters still be able to showcase like who the characters are and the feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
I think the Bears is the best put together episodes that... not the best, sorry. Fishers is the best put together episode that I've done.
The final episode of this season was so unsettling to watch.
It's top two for me.
Yeah, it's actually painful. Like, it's actually like a painful, because I hadn't watched it by the time we were recording the app. When I went home to watch it, because I took bare long, and I was like, I had to watch it in two parts. I don't want that level of attention ever again in my life. I feel like it elevated my blood pressure. Like, it was just that. And every time she would like smoke, I'd be like, yo, get me a cigarette right now. Like, get me a cigarette. Like, it's just
you
so.
Hear it. Yeah.
Like, it's just,
What is it about?
I think they took it out of
No, because you have to put the subtitles on. Like, he says it so like
subtly,
yeah.
Because I watched it twice, yeah. I was like, I didn't catch it. And I thought they took it out. I thought that's what it was.
It's there. Just but, subtly.
Truthfully so unsettling to watch, but really, really good.
I'm calling it right now, yeah. Season 5, we get the final season of The Bear. We're going to get a Mikey episode. And whatever that episode is.
It's gonna be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah,
it's John Bernthal, bro.
Yeah, bro. Give me that Mikey episode. It's gonna be insane.
Yeah. So I've got no Mad Men episodes, kids. I know you've watched Mad Men.
No, I started it, and every time I start it, I don't know why I don't continue.
But it's good.
Good. Yeah. I've just never, like, bro, exact same thing.
I've enjoyed it. I just never really.
Is it a lot? Like, is it intense?
I think you actually just have to like.
Yeah, you just have to lock it. Like,
just lock.
It's about advertising and just like that kind of world, isn't
it? You have to focus quite a bit watching it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good.
People compare it to Suits. Oh no, compare Suits. To it.
Nah. For I've only watched like a handful of episodes. But it's not like
Suits. Oh my fucking good!
Yeah, best.
That's one of the greatest first episodes of TV. You're ever
gonna I was put a shout there. Have you watched Entourage?
No.
Just take a watch of Entourage. They got a lot of good episodes.
Yeah.
Prison Break. You ate with that.
Prison Break. I think it's got my first favorite opening episode.
I can't remember. Yep. Really.
He's planning the crime so he can get arrested, and there's just so many moments when he's like. He's getting tatted up. It's the context. It's purely the context for the whole
great setup.
Whole show. Mm. But there's one particular moment where he's got a firearm and he shoots to the sky. And they're like, basically, if you didn't bring a gun, you would have like gotten away with the crime. He didn't take any money. He didn't do anything. He just shot to the sky. And he wants to go to Max in it. Really good episode. Like, really good episode. And that's the end of the episode. We find out that that's his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like,
because they have different surnames as well.
Yeah.
Could any Black Mirror episodes?
Oh, God, let's fucking... White fucking Christmas. One of the greatest episodes of TV history. Shout out to John Hamm. What a fucking performance he puts in.
Guy,
absolutely gorgeous. I can't remember, apologies, the other actor that kind of leads with him. But he puts in such a great performance alongside the female co-lead as well.
Yeah.
Like, in his section of the thing. Like,
the episode's crazy.
Bro, and it's one of those episodes when... you watch it for the first time, amazing, great. But then because so many things unraveled, when you watch it for the second time, you pick up things so much so differently. Because obviously we find out in the episode that he wanted her to keep the baby, and she kept saying, no, I'm going to have an abortion.
Yeah.
It's like we don't really get at the time. Obviously, you find out because the baby wasn't his.
Yeah.
She cheated on him with one of his or her co-worker. And we don't find out this until the very end because he's blocked because he's blocked by both her and her child. So we only see an outline of the kid. So when that episode ends, and then even John Hamm's her story in terms of him spying on people, watching them have sex, essentially puts him on a sex offenders list, and now he's blocked in red. So everybody, like, you're not going to prison, but everyone knows that you're a sex offender. And it's just such a great episode, especially because of John Hamm's performance and how the story is told, the whole story being told in three different parts. I think they tried to do something similar with Black Museum.
I was going
to
say that Black Museum's out there for me.
Really?
I really like, because it's, I think it sticks with me a lot because I really like Letitia Wright.
Friend of the show?
Yeah.
What's the top five?
Okay, so.
White Christmas.
White Christmas, Hanging the DJ.
Yes. Entire History of You.
Entire History of You.
We've done this before, and I think we've got, like,
did we?
We've done really well. Yeah.
Okay, good. Entire History of You.
Yeah. Sanjay and Apparel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not for me up there, but I think my.
I think people love it.
Yeah.
What's the last one?
Okay.
You've got all four.
Not Nosedive.
No, it's not going to be Nosedive.
What have you named so far?
We've got
White Christmas, Hang the DJ, Entire History of You,
Sanjay and
Apparel. And
so we got
I'm
more.
Saying Black Museum.
No,
you're correct.
Oh, okay, fair. Sorry.
He's saying BLM. He's saying he doesn't believe in BLM. saying Black Lives Don't Matter. For me, they do.
You're correct. Do you want to do a Friends one quickly?
Yes. Okay.
I think I'm definitely fine. I can remember like
it's more moments with Friends that you remember.
Definitely the wedding.
The one when he says the wrong name.
Yeah. I'll read it out to you anyway.
Pivot.
that is the one with the cop.
Yeah.
That's when Phoebe takes.
Is that the whole? That yeah. What an episode?
It's a great episode. The episodes are like 22 minutes. They feel longer.
Yeah.
Because I forgot other things happened in that episode.
Yeah, the main episode is Phoebe.
Pivot.
It's Phoebe taking the cop's badge.
Then
the Ross pivot kind of overlaps
takes
it, or overtakes it in terms of like everyone.
Because Ross.
Because it's Ross. He gives us great moments, man. Do you have? I did a Ross best moments. Do you have a Ross best moment?
Yeah. So the one when
you want to rank them as well.
Okay, cool. The one when if it plays.
Blind rank. You pick five moments and she has to blind rank them.
Ooh.
You can do it off the top of your head.
Okay. All right, cool. Give me a moment. Ross, best moments. Manny was thinking on the spot.
Yeah, you ate with that.
Kind
of. Well, guys, looks like a thing. I will tell you guys my ranking of the Friends character from
do your thing.
6 to first.
Ooh.
I think 6. I'm going to put Monica 6. But I don't feel like I'm as irritated by her as much as I was when I was younger.
Yeah.
I still really dislike Monica.
But
I actually like her quite a bit now, so it's quite difficult. 5 is Rachel.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of my favourite scenes with Rachel are not because of Rachel. Is it more so the interaction that she has with other people? But like all of them are good characters. My 4th will be Joey.
Yeah.
He should be lower down that list, man.
I feel like he should, didn't it?
He should be lower down that
list. Yeah, I feel like he should.
His humour is just more like dumb humour.
Yeah.
He wasn't initially. They changed him as a character. Yeah. He wasn't that dumb initially.
Yeah.
They kind of like played into it.
Because good looking guy, so he has to be an idiot.
Johnny Storm.
The 2000s humour.
Yeah. My top
3, Phoebe's going to be 3. Chandler's 2nd. And obviously, number 1, Ross.
Yeah.
That's fine.
All right, Basali, you ready?
I am ready.
All right, cool. So this one, it's an episode, but it has particular moments which are fucking brilliant, yeah? The one where Ross is fine.
I'm fine. Oh.
And it's also got Charlie later on. You know Charlie's black girlfriend?
Yeah.
And he's still pretending to be fine. He says, my fajitas and all that stuff. Yeah.
Which episode is this?
This is Joey and Rachel are together. Yeah. He sees them kissing.
Yes.
And they're like,
that was such a weird
disgusting
story,
isn't it? Disgusting. I hated it so much. My least favorite TV couple.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 5th because he's so funny.
Are you sure?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think I would put 5th as well.
I want to put it 5th because Ross is so funny, I'm actually okay with anything else that goes above that. I feel like safety, you're always meant to do number four for blind rackings, but no, I'm gonna be strong, go fifth.
Ross, I'm fine.
It eats, man, but
I love the moment because
it hits as well.
It's the entire episode. Wait, I might play it out loud. Let's see.
Totally fine. I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine. You know what we should do? Calm ourselves.
Wait, because he has anger issues.
Yeah, yeah.
We should go have dinner. Yes, we'll do it tomorrow night. I'll cook.
Don't you think that'll be a little weird?
Weird? What? What's weird? The only thing weird would be if someone didn't like Mexican food because I'm making fajitas.
Oh, my days, man.
That's a banger of episode. Cool. That's right. Yeah.
Where do you have that?
I still have it at five.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Next is the one with Unagi.
Oh my goodness, number two. That's what I'm Salmon string roll. Like that right there.
Rachel's punchline, yeah.
It's so funny, yeah.
Her comedic acting got better over the series.
Yeah, yeah. She's definitely got better as an actor. Even now, I think, like...
Oh, she's good in the morning show, man.
Good, brilliant in the morning show, bro. The morning. There's even another Apple TV show that they're doing it with her in it. I'm really...
Oh, yeah, it's coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with that number two. Eats. That's a really good moment.
The one with the cop. Pivot.
Pivot's good. I put it at four. I really like Pivot. I really do. No, I think Pivot's hilarious. I think it's good, but there are just funnier Ross moments.
The one with Ross's sandwich.
My sandwich! It's so tough because he talks about, he said you got the moist meat, because he talks moist, about like the setup for the sandwich as well.
Hi. What's wrong, buddy?
Someone at work ate my sandwich.
Oh, I was thinking of a different scene.
Well, as in the ending
the whole episode, yeah.
When he throws it in the bin.
No, when he actually finds out.
Yeah, he throws it in the bin.
Yeah. Yeah, when he finds out, he threw it
in the bin.
I'm sorry. I believe I ate that. You ate my sandwich? It was a simple mistake. It could happen to anyone.
Oh, really? Did you confuse it with your own turkey sandwich with a moist maker?
No.
Do you perhaps remember seeing a note on top of it?
There may have been a joke or limerick of some kind.
That said, it was my sandwich.
Now calm down. Come look in my office. Some of it may still be in the trash. What? Well, it was quite large. I had to throw most of it away.
You threw my sandwich away. My sandwich.
Good stuff,
yeah,
man.
I'll put it at number three.
Interesting.
So you're leaving number one open?
Yeah, I'm just really curious.
The one with Ross's teeth.
Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah. Perfect. Right, yeah, I'm number one. Hondo. Because he's like...
Yeah, I decided not to put the tan in because it's
yeah.
The tan is like it's a go-to, man. Yeah. The tan is brilliant.
But yeah,
I didn't even bring out the leather pants.
Oh my gosh, the leather pants,
the cream.
Yeah, and you put the powder on top.
No, the what kills is that. you've been there for too long. Can I come out? Yeah, but can keep the lights off.
Yeah.
Like, no, rather not. It's such a it's such a logical response.
Yeah. I think she even says, "Can you come out?" He says, "Okay."
Yeah, and he's walked out like, covered in powder with his little pants in his hand.
No, Friends is great, man.
Yeah,
Friends
good TV,
great.
Man.
Friends
good
is
TV.
Great. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap up? I think it's been a good, comprehensive little chat.
I think we can do a part two of this or something.
Yeah.
Hondo.
Yeah, because we didn't really do any Breaking Bad stuff. I need to just rewatch the show. I've watched it.
Yeah, same.
I've only watched it once.
Yeah. Same. Puffle season, like 1 to 3, I think I'll watch multiple times.
I might try and give it a watch.
Yeah.
You've never watched it?
No, I've always tried.
You watched Breaking Bad?
Yeah, George, my thing with Breaking Bad was that everyone kept telling me it was really good and I just couldn't get into it.
You know what?
I started it three times.
Do you know what?
The first season was slow.
Do you not think so?
I'm not saying you won't. I'm not sure if you would.
Yeah.
If you confirm the first two seasons, then it gets really good.
But
two seasons?
I know.
Yeah, I can't do that. Because I can do a season. A season I can do, but...
First season, like 7 episodes, by the way.
How many episodes is the second one?
Is it a lot more, but it's because they had the right strike for the first season.
So if I have to firm, 6 hours, that's quite a bit. But if I have to firm like 3 hours worth of TV. That's cool.
Are there any Abbott episodes that comes to mind?
Yes.
The crossover episode with Always Sunny is so funny.
We haven't got that yet. Okay. I'll watch it soon.
Please.
You're doing The Sopranos. Can you like focus?
And then watch.
But I have to watch other stuff. Like I was watching The Sad Men yesterday. But to be fair,
Sandman,
yeah, it's on Netflix. But I'm watching that passively because I actually don't like it. But I need to finish it.
Yeah, I started a Prime series that
I know exactly what you mean.
I was watching passively.
Watch what?
I was watching a Prime series quite passively. Then it got good. It's with Keely Hawes. I think it's called The Assassin.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, and then something happens. I was like, oh.
Have you watched Thingy on Apple? With my girl from Dune.
Silo.
Silo.
You see, I couldn't get into it.
Silo's not that great.
Yeah, first season's not that great.
Rebecca Ferguson's fucking incredible, by the way. But yeah, fantastic. I think she's kind of good milk as well. Good milk, man.
Are people getting onto you? Vanessa saying that she's not good enough milk-wise.
Cubs?
Bro?
Cubby's good milk, you know?
Do you know
bro?
It's because they're comparing her to Jessica. That's what it is.
Jessica Alba, yeah, but she couldn't act.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, no one, like, the people that are doing that aren't looking.
And even
like,
just forget the milk, her performance in Fantastic Four was fucking really good.
Yeah, she's better. Obviously, as performance wise, is way better than Jessica's.
Someone said they should have made Sue Storm Latto. Did you guys see that?
I saw that.
We are the post credit scene podcast.
Do you know what the problem is, yeah? It's because the government has banned porn.
You know, it's like 2 days ago. That's the problem.
How long is it? You see earlier? I wanted to make a joke about it. Yeah? Because you start talking about periods, like, I can't make that joke now.
I mean, you could.
Yeah, I could have.
Before. Yeah, you could have.
I don't know, because I asked, what were you doing yesterday? I was like, because you definitely weren't watching.
Guys, let us know. We're going to do like a Sopranos episode soon, but if there's something particularly you want us to watch, let us know. Because I feel like we're like the TV watchers, I guess.
Yeah.
Jason's like wishy-washy, so.
Yeah, he's not going to watch it in time.
But yeah, we're going to do the Sopranos. Kids will be here as well, and he's like the Sopranos lieutenant.
He'll
be able to lead us in this episode. Make sure to drop us a comment. Let us know your thoughts on across all platforms, YouTube. Let us know your thoughts on this episode, what you want us to talk about in the future. And that's us.
Run out.
Boop, boop, boop.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.